I take great pleasure in the management of my finances, as I do in many of the other aspects of my life. It's a great joy to me. And really, there's no sadness involved, but first let's get the date out of the way. It's January 2nd, 2024 of the Common Era, and the time is 1847 hours Eastern Standard Time. Ward Green with you again. We're looking at the C-cubed article, Crucible of Credible Creed, Chapter 3, Paragraph 10. I feel both great joy and immense sadness over the success of the genealogy, but any sadness is surely to be thought of as the consequence of reaching an end of sorts. The end to which I refer is the chronology itself and the testing of it to see if it may agree with the known facts. Answers at times were slow in coming, the creed rewarding. The work which follows is the testing of history by creed. And we have the privilege of presenting this article to the world, even though after the writing of this article, I was in a way wrong about the end, it being the end of the chronology, of course, because there were more refinements that came later, but they weren't major refinements. So this, in a way, still was an end of sorts, because the major part, the major elements of the chronology were established in the Crucible article, which we are studying right now. And that's all we're going to say about that and this article for today. We're done. Because that was a short paragraph for today's study. But the thing is, I just want to add that it really was immensely sad when I realized that it was the true, that I found the true chronology and that I was presenting it for the first and last time, because I wasn't going to be presenting the true chronology again in the same way, with it being so new and so, you know, just incredibly exciting and groundbreaking to find the chronology for the first time. It was very, very rewarding, exciting work. So it was very sad to think that it was coming to an end, even though there were more articles that came later, and they were very, perhaps very important also, but they weren't as groundbreaking as this particular one. So, yeah, it still is, I guess, a little bit sad that we had to finish that, the study of the Crucible article at some point. We had to, but I mean, when I was writing chapter 3 here, I was not near the end of my writing. This was near the beginning of the article's writing. I was writing the article when I was only 3 chapters in. I was 12 chapters, so there was still a lot more to write, and I was already feeling sad because I knew that it was going to be the end of a very important phase of the chronology called the genealogy, and the study that is genealogical study. So Proverbs, little children, chapter 23, verse 9 is our proverb for today. Into the ears of a stupid one do not speak, for he will despise your discreet words. And from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 8, at that time Solomon proceeded to congregate the older men of Israel, all the heads of the tribes, the chieftains of the fathers of the sons of Israel, to King Solomon at Jerusalem, to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah out of the city of David, that is to say Zion. We've been reading about the construction of Solomon's, Jehovah's temple that Solomon built. Solomon's temple, it's also called. It's Jehovah's temple. The first temple that was built by the Israelites under King Solomon. was when it was built. So all the men of Israel congregated themselves to King Solomon in the lunar month of Ethanim, in the festival that is the seventh month. So all the older men of Israel came, and the priests began to carry the ark. And they came bringing up the ark of Jehovah, and the tent of meeting, and all the holy utensils that were in the tent, and the priests and the Levites came bringing them up. And King Solomon, and with him all the assembly of Israel, those keeping their appointment with him, were before the ark, sacrificing sheep and cattle that could not be counted or numbered for multitude. Then the priests brought in the Ark of the Covenant of Jehovah to its place, to the innermost room of the house, the most holy, to underneath the wings of the cherubs. For the cherubs were spreading out their wings over the place of the ark, so that the cherubs kept the ark and its poles screened over from above. But the poles proved to be long, so that the tips of the poles were visible from the holy in front of the innermost room, but they were not visible outside. And there they continue down to this day. There was nothing in the ark but the two stone tablets which Moses had deposited there in Horeb, when Jehovah had covenanted with the sons of Israel while they were coming out from the land of Egypt. And it came about that when the priests came out from the holy place, the cloud itself filled the house of Jehovah. And the priests were unable to stand to do their ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of Jehovah filled the house of Jehovah. At that time, Solomon said, Jehovah himself said he was to reside in the thick gloom. I have successfully built a house of lofty abode for you, an established place for you to dwell in to time indefinite. Then the king turned his face and began to bless all the congregation of Israel, while all the congregation of Israel were standing up. And he went on to say, Blessed is Jehovah the God of Israel, who spoke by his own mouth with David my father, and by his own hand has given fulfillment, saying, From the day that I brought my people Israel out of Egypt, I have not chosen a city out of all the tribes of Israel to build a house for my name to continue there, but I shall choose David to come to be over my people Israel. And it came to be close to the heart of David my father to build a house to the name of Jehovah the God of Israel. But Jehovah said to David my father, For the reason that it proved to be close to your heart to build a house to my name, you did well, because it proved to be close to your heart. Only you yourself will not build the house, but your son who is coming forth from your loins is the one that will build the house to my name. And Jehovah proceeded to carry out his word that he had spoken, that I might rise up in the place of David my father and sit upon the throne of Israel, just as Jehovah had spoken, and that I might build the house to the name of Jehovah the God of Israel. This is Solomon speaking. And that I might locate a place there for the ark where the covenant of Jehovah is that he concluded with our forefathers when he was bringing them out from the land of Egypt. And Solomon began standing before the altar of Jehovah in front of all the congregation of Israel. And he now spread his palms out to the heavens, and he went on to say, O Jehovah, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in the heavens above or on the earth underneath, keeping the covenant and the loving kindness toward your servants who are walking before you with all their heart. You who have kept toward your servant David, my father, that which you promised him, so that you made the promise with your own mouth and with your own hand, you have made the fulfillment as at this day. And now, O Jehovah, the God of Israel, keep toward your servant David, my father, that which you promised him, saying, There will not be cut off a man of yours from before me to sit upon the throne of Israel, if only your sons will take care of their way by walking before me, just as you have walked before me. And now, O God of Israel, let your promise that you have promised to your servant David, my father, prove trustworthy, please. But will God truly dwell upon the earth? Look, the heavens, yes, the heaven of the heavens themselves cannot contain you. How much less, then, this house that I have built? And you must turn toward the prayer of your servant and to his request for favor, O Jehovah my God, to listen to the entreating cry and to the prayer with which your servant is praying before you today, that your eyes may prove to be open toward this house night and day, toward the place of which you said, my name will prove to be there. To listen to the prayer with which your servant prays toward this place, and you must listen to the request for favor on the part of your servant and of your people Israel, with which they pray toward this place, and may you yourself hear at the place of your dwelling in the heavens, and you must hear and forgive. When a man sins against his fellow man, and he actually lays a cursing upon him to bring him under liability to the curse, and he actually comes within the curse before your altar in this house, then may you yourself hear from the heavens, and you must act and judge your servants by pronouncing the wicked one wicked, by putting his way upon his own head, and by pronouncing the righteous one righteous by giving to him according to his righteousness. When your people Israel are defeated before the enemy because they kept sinning against you, and they indeed return to you and laud your name and pray and make request for favor toward you in this house, then may you yourself hear from heaven, and you must forgive the sin of your people Israel, and you must bring them back to the ground that you gave to their forefathers. When heaven is shut up so that no rain occurs because they kept sinning against you, and they actually pray toward this place and laud your name, and from their sin they turn back because you kept afflicting them, then may you yourself hear from the heavens, and you must forgive the sin of your servants, even of your people Israel, because you teach them the good way in which they should walk. And you must give rain upon your land that you have given to your people as an hereditary possession. In case a famine occurs in the land, in case a pestilence occurs, in case scorching, mildew, locusts, cockroaches occur, in case their enemy besieges them in the land of their gates, any sort of plague, any sort of malady, whatever prayer, whatever request for favor there may occur on the part of any man or of all your people, Israel, because they know each one the plague of his own heart, and they actually spread out their palms to this house, then may you yourself hear from the heavens, your established place of dwelling, and you must forgive and act and give to each one according to all his ways, because you know his heart. For you yourself alone well know the heart of all the sons of mankind, to the end that they may fear you all the days that they are alive upon the surface of the ground that you gave to our forefathers, and also to the foreigner, who is no part of your people Israel, and who actually comes from a distant land by reason of your name, for they shall hear of your great name, and of your strong hand, and of your stretched out arm. And he actually comes and prays toward this house. May you yourself listen from the heavens, your established place of dwelling, and you must do according to all that for which the foreigner calls to you, in order that all the peoples of the earth may get to know your name, so as to fear you, the same as your people Israel do, and so as to know that your name itself has been called upon this house that I have built. In case your people go out to the war against their enemy in the way that you send them, and they indeed pray to Jehovah in the direction of the city that you have chosen and the house that I have built to your name, you must also hear from the heavens their prayer and their request for favor, and you must execute judgment for them. I think we're getting a little dark on the screen here. In case they sin against you, for there's no man that does not sin, and you have to be incensed at them and abandon them to the enemy, and their captors actually carry them off captive to the land of the enemy, distant or nearby, and they indeed come to their senses in the land where they have been carried off captive, and they actually return and make request to you for favor in the land of their captors, saying, we have sinned and erred, we have acted wickedly, and they indeed return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies who carried them off captive, and they indeed pray to you in the direction of their land that you gave to their forefathers, the city that you have chosen, and the house that I have built to your name, you must also hear from the heavens, your established place of dwelling, their prayer and their request for favor, and you must execute judgment for them. And you must forgive your people who had sinned against you and all their transgressions with which they transgressed against you, and you must make them objects of pity before their captors. And they must pity them, for they are your people and your inheritance, whom you brought out from Egypt, from inside the iron furnace. There's the iron furnace. Verse 52, that your eyes may prove to be opened to the request for favor of your servant and to the request for favor of your people Israel by listening to them in all for which they call to you. For you yourself separated them as your inheritance out of all the peoples of the earth, just as you have spoken by means of Moses your servant when you were bringing our forefathers out from Egypt, O sovereign Lord Jehovah. And there's a reference also to the separation mentioned at Exodus 19 and 6. They were to become a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. In other words, holy meaning separated from the normal, from the things that are not holy. And it came about that as soon as Solomon finished praying to Jehovah with all this prayer and request for favor, he rose up from before the altar of Jehovah, from bending down upon his knees with his palms spread out to the heavens, and he began to stand and bless all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, "Blessed be Jehovah, who has given a resting place to his people Israel, according to all that he has promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise that he has promised by means of Moses his servant. May Jehovah our God prove to be with us, just as he proved to be with our forefathers. May he neither leave us nor forsake us, so as to incline our heart to himself, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his regulations and his judicial decisions which he gave in command to our forefathers. And may these words of mine, with which I have made request for favor before Jehovah, prove to be near to Jehovah our God by day and night, that he may execute judgment for his servant and judgment for his people Israel, as it may require by day, to the end that all the peoples of the earth may know that Jehovah is the true God, there is no other. And your heart must prove to be complete with Jehovah our God by walking in his regulations and by keeping his commandments as at this day." And the king and all Israel with him were offering a grand sacrifice before Jehovah. And Solomon proceeded to offer the communion sacrifices that he had to offer to Jehovah, 22,000 cattle and 120,000 sheep, that the king and all the sons of Israel might inaugurate the house of Jehovah. On that day the king had to sanctify the middle of the courtyard that is before the house of Jehovah, because there he had to render up the burnt sacrifice and the grain offering and the fat pieces of the communion sacrifices, for the copper altar that is before Jehovah was too small to contain the burnt sacrifice and the grain offering and the fat pieces of the communion sacrifices. And Solomon proceeded to carry on at that time the festival, and all Israel with him. That's the festival of booths in the seventh month. A great congregation from the entering in of Hamath down to the torrent valley of Egypt before Jehovah our God 7 days and another 7 days. So it would be from the 15th of the month, 7 days and then 15 plus 14, it would be 29 days. It would take us to the beginning of the eighth month by the end of this festival. On the eighth day of this festival, he sent the people away and they began to bless the king and go to their homes rejoicing and feeling merry of heart over all the goodness that Jehovah had performed for David his servant and for Israel his people. And that's the end of 1 Kings chapter 8. We omitted to do Ezekiel 9 yesterday. It's very short. And he proceeded to call out in my ears with a loud voice, Ezekiel writes, saying, "Have those giving their attention to the city come near, each one with his weapon in his hand, for bringing ruin. And look, there were six men coming from the direction of the upper gate that faces to the north, each one with his weapon for smashing in his hand, and there was one man in among them clothed with linen, with the secretary's inkhorn at his hips, and they proceeded to come in and stand beside the copper altar. And as regards the glory of the God of Israel, it was taken up from over the cherubs, over which it happened to be, to the threshold of the house. And he began calling out to the man that was clothed with the linen, at whose hips there was the secretary's inkhorn. And Jehovah went on to say to him, pass through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and you must put a mark on the foreheads of the men that are sighing and groaning over all the detestable things that are being done in the midst of it. And to these others, he said in my ears, pass through the city after him and strike. Let not your eye feel sorry and do not feel any compassion. Old man, young man, and virgin, and little child, and women you should kill off to a ruination, but to any man upon whom there is the mark, do not go near. And from my sanctuary you should start. So they started with the old men that were before the house, and he said further to them, defile the house and fill the courtyards with the slain ones. Go forth. And they went forth and struck the city. And it came about that while they were striking and I was left remaining, I proceeded to fall upon my face and cry out and say, alas, O Jehovah, O sovereign Lord Jehovah, are you bringing to ruin all the remaining ones of Israel while you are pouring out your rage upon Jerusalem? So he said to me, the error of the house of Israel and Judah is very, very great, and the land is filled with bloodshed, and the city is full of crookedness, for they have said Jehovah has left the land, and Jehovah is not seeing. And as for me also, my eye will not feel sorry, neither shall I show compassion. Their way I shall certainly bring upon their own head. And look, the man clothed with the linen at whose hips there was the inkhorn was bringing back word, saying, I have done just as you have commanded me. Evidently he had killed all the people who did not have the mark. And I continued to see, now chapter 10 of Ezekiel, and look upon the expanse that was over the head of the cherubs, there was something like sapphire stone, like the appearance of the likeness of a throne appearing above them. This is similar to Ezekiel chapter 1. And he proceeded to say to the man clothed with the linen, even to say, enter in between the wheelwork and under the cherubs, and fill the hollows of both your hands with coals of fire from between the cherubs, and toss them over the city. So he entered in. He entered in before my eyes, and the cherubs were standing to the right of the house when the man entered, and the cloud was filling the inner courtyard. And the glory of Jehovah proceeded to rise up from the cherubs to the threshold of the house, and the house gradually became filled with the cloud. And the courtyard itself was full of the brightness of the glory of Jehovah. And the very sound of the wings of the cherubs made itself heard to the outer courtyard like the sound of God Almighty when he speaks. And it came about when he commanded the man clothed with the linen, saying, take fire from between the wheelwork, from between the cherubs, and that he proceeded to enter and stand beside the wheel. Then the cherub thrust his hand out from between the cherubs to the fire that was between the cherubs, and carried and put it into the hollows of the hands of the one clothed with the linen, who now took it and went out. And there was seen, belonging to the cherubs, the representation of a hand of earthling man under their wings. And I continued to see, and look, there were four wheels beside the cherubs, one wheel beside the one cherub, and one wheel beside the other cherub. And the appearance of the wheels was like the glow of a chrysolite stone. And as for their appearance, the four of them had one likeness, just as when a wheel proves to be in the midst of a wheel. When they would go to their four sides, they would go. They would not change direction when they went, because the place to which the head would face, after it, they would go. They would not change direction when they went. And all their flesh and their backs and their hands and their wings and the wheels were full of eyes all around. The four of them had their wheels. As regards the wheels, to them it was called out in my ears, oh, wheel work! And each one had four faces. The first face was the face of the cherub, and the second face was the face of earthly man, and the third was the face of a lion, and the fourth was the face of an eagle. And the cherubs would rise. It was the same living creature that I had seen at the river Kibar. And when the cherubs went, the wheels would go alongside them, and when the cherubs lifted up their wings to be high above the earth, the wheels would not change direction, even they themselves from alongside them. When these stood still, they would stand still, and when these rose, they would rise with them, for the spirit of the living creature was in them. And the glory of Jehovah proceeded to go forth from over the threshold of the house and to stand still over the cherubs. And the cherubs now lifted up their wings and rose up from the earth. Before my eyes, when they went forth, the wheels also were close alongside them, and they began standing at the eastern entrance of the gate of the house of Jehovah, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them from above. This is the living creature that I had seen under the God of Israel at the river Kibar, referring to chapter 1 of Ezekiel, so that I came to know that they were cherubs. As for the four, each one had four faces, and each one had four wings, and the likeness of the hands of earthling man was under their wings. And as for the likeness of their faces, they were the faces, the appearance of which I had seen by the river Kibar, the very ones. They would go, each one, straight forward. Revelation chapter 2. To the angel of the congregation in Ephesus write, these are the things that he says who holds the seven stars in his right hand. Jesus speaking, he who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, as John records, I know your deeds and your labor and endurance, and that you cannot bear bad men, and that you put those to the test who say they are apostles, but they are not, and you found them liars. You are also showing endurance, and you have borne up for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. Nevertheless, I hold this against you, that you have left the love you had at first. Therefore, remember from what you have fallen, and repent, and do the former deeds. If you do not, I am coming to you, and I will remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Still, you do have this, that you hate the deeds of the sect of Nicolaus, which I also hate. Let the one who has an ear hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. To him that conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. That was to the congregation of Ephesus, and now, and to the angel of the congregation in Smyrna write, these are the things that he says, the first and the last, who became dead and came to life again. I know your tribulation and poverty, but you are rich, and the blasphemy by those who say that they themselves are Jews, and yet they are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of the things you are about to suffer. Look, the devil will keep on throwing some of you into prison, that you may be fully put to the test, and that you may have tribulation 10 days. Prove yourself faithful even to death, and I will give you the crown of life. Let the one who has an ear hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. He that conquers will by no means be harmed by the second death. He that conquers will by no means be harmed by the second death. That's the end of the statement to the congregation of Smyrna. And to the angel of the congregation in Pergamum write, these are the things that he says who has the sharp, long, two-edged sword. I know where you are dwelling, that is, where the throne of Satan is, and yet you keep on holding fast my name, and you did not deny your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, the faithful one, who was killed by your side, where Satan is dwelling. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, that you have there those holding fast the teaching of Balaam, who went teaching Balak, to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit fornication. So you also have those holding fast the teaching of the sect of Nicolaus. Likewise, therefore repent. If you do not, I am coming to you quickly, and I will war with you with the long sword of my mouth. Let the one who has an ear hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. To him that conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white pebble, and upon the pebble a new name written which no one knows except the one receiving it. That's the end of the statement to the congregation in Pergamum. And to the angel of the congregation in Thyatira write, these are the things that the Son of God says, he who has eyes like a fiery flame and his feet are like fine copper. I know your deeds, and your love and faith and ministry and endurance, and that your deeds of late are more than those formerly. Nevertheless, I do hold this against you, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, that you tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and misleads my slaves to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent, but she is not willing to repent of her fornication. Look, I am about to throw her into a sick bed, and those committing adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. And her children I will kill with deadly plague, so that all the congregations will know that I am he who searches the kidneys and hearts, and I will give to you individually, according to your deeds. However, I say to the rest of you who are in Thyatira, however, I say to the rest of you who are in Thyatira, all those who do not have this teaching, the very ones who did not get to know the deep things of Satan, as they say, the quote, deep things of Satan, unquote, as they say, I am not putting upon you any other burden. Just the same, hold fast what you have until I come. And to him that conquers and observes my deeds down to the end, I will give authority over the nations. And he shall shepherd the people with an iron rod, so that they will be broken to pieces like clay vessels, the same as I have received from my Father. The iron rod, which Jesus will also wield, right? That he wields, which is given to him by Jehovah. And I will give him the morning star. This is to him that conquers. Jesus says, I will give him the morning star. Let the one who has an ear hear what the Spirit says to the congregations. That's the end of Revelation chapter 2. We have 2 minutes or a little less remaining. So we got through all of our reading for today, I believe, which is very, very blessed that we were able to do that. I was out shopping today, so I should be tired, but I'm not as tired as I was. I've been sleeping something like 7 or 8 or 9 hours, you know, but with a few breaks. But I'm sleeping much longer now because I'm not hydrating so much. So I don't have as much water in my bladder, and I can sleep for 3 hours at a stretch or more. I slept for a period more than five. It was close to 7 hours, was it? I'm trying to think if it was close to 7 or 6 or 5. I don't think it was close to 7, no. I haven't gotten near 7 hours yet. But I was sleeping, I mean, not at one stretch, but in two stretches I'll sleep 8 hours or, you know, 7 hours. At least on one night I did something like that, which was the first time in just about forever. I've been sleeping only for stretches of 2 hours at a time for many, many, or less even when I was, poisoned with vitamin D. When I had too much or calcium, it was the calcium that really caused all the problems. Vitamin D didn't necessarily cause any problems, but because I was taking so much vitamin D, you know, then I overdosed on calcium. And that was in my water, and it caused me to I had frequent urination on top of all my other problems, like nausea and, you know, loss of appetite and so many different problems, weakness, you know, clumsiness and whatever, all sorts of problems. That's the end of today's study. It is 19:19 hours Eastern Standard Time, January 2nd, 2024 of the Common Era. I'm Ward Green, and I love you very much, little children. Have a wonderful day. It's the new year, 2024, once again. The second day of the year now, as we begin this marvelous new year. And this is my wind-up chronograph watch, Gully, and my electronic digital watch, Cassie, on my behalf, saying bye for now.